when the lame man who lay at the beautiful gate in Jerusalem was healed, and he was called into question about what had happened. Peter said, well, it wasn't by through our power that this man was made whole. It was through the power in the name of Jesus. And he is still the same yesterday, today and forever. The Bible is very plain about that. He does not change. And there's still something very powerful about the name of Jesus. Thank you again today for coming to be with us in our service. I do need your prayers as I stand before you. I'm going to read a lesson today from the 33rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel. I don't preach from Ezekiel much. I don't understand everything that's in the book of Ezekiel. And so I try not to preach on things I don't know anything about. But in this 33rd chapter, it begins. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his own iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So then, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word from my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Speak, thus shall ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Now that's my scripture lesson for today, and I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. The thought that is on my heart and mind this morning is this. Salvation is between each individual and God himself. It's between you and God. That's my subject title for this morning. This lesson that I read in your hearing, it begins with a warning. It is a warning of judgment that's coming up, was coming upon the land of Israel. And there was the need for someone to be appointed as a watchman to watch for the enemy that was coming. And of course, that enemy is death. We read in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where the Bible says the last enemy that'll be destroyed is death. And so I want you to think about that in those terms. Judgment day is coming. The Bible said it's appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. And so the watchman has a great responsibility. And his responsibility is to warn people about the danger and the judgment that is coming. The second thing that this passage of Scripture warns about is about personal responsibility. Now, the lesson says if the watchman sees the danger approaching and he gives warning and the individual ignores the warning and goes ahead and he loses his life, he says it's his own responsibility. He was responsible for himself. And I want to say today that every soul is responsible for their own salvation. And I cannot save anyone, and no one else can save anyone. Only the Lord Jesus can save. But each person has to appeal to him for salvation. You have to seek the Lord for yourself. Nobody can seek the Lord for you. And you have to, you know, that's your responsibility. Now, it's my responsibility to warn you about the coming danger. It's my responsibility to tell the lost that they're going to die. And if it's the Lord's will, I'm going to bring that out in this message today. We're going to die, every one of us. It is appointed unto men once to die. And the Bible says that the first man that ever lived, he is the one who committed sin. The first transgression in the human race was committed by Adam. And the Bible says that's how sin entered into the world, and death by sin. If there had been no sin, there had been no death. But the wages of sin is death. And that's the teaching of the Bible. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the results of that is that all will die. You know. And so my responsibility is to publish the warning. The Bible says, I believe it's in the book of Psalms, that many have published the word. And that doesn't mean have printed it in a book. That means they have given the warning. They have trumpeted the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I believe Isaiah said, lift up your voice like a trumpet and tell my people their transgressions. And so we publish on the behalf of God, you know, about the coming death that everyone faces, and about the judgment that they will face after they have died. And so this responsibility is mine. I read in the Bible about Paul in Acts chapter 20. Paul was on his way back to Jerusalem, and he had asked the church at Ephesus to meet him. And he spent some time with them, and he told them about how that he had kept back nothing that was profitable to them. But he had warned them day and night with tears. You know, he wanted them to have salvation. He wanted them to know that if they died in their sins, that they would experience the wrath of God. And the Bible tells us, you know, that he that believeth on the Son hath life, and he that believeth not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If you're not saved today, you are living in danger of eternal damnation and destruction. Condemnation has already been passed upon the whole human family. We are sinners by nature, and we are subject to the wrath of God. If we do not turn from our wicked ways and we turn to the Lord Jesus and get saved, we're certainly will be exposed to the wrath of God. And so it's my duty, my responsibility, to warn people to flee from the wrath to come, to make peace with God. So we read about where Paul said this also in, I believe it's 2 Timothy chapter 4 and maybe verse 5. I might be mistaken about that. Paul, you know, he said that he had finished his course. He had fought a good fight, and he had kept the faith. Now, I cannot boast about my faithfulness. Paul was a much better servant than I have ever been. But still, I have fought the fight, the good fight, down through the years, and I have kept the faith. I still preach today what I preached when I first began preaching. The gospel hasn't changed. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. It cannot be changed. Now, people may revise, you know, the written word, and they may change it in different ways, but the record is in heaven, and it cannot be changed. And so sinners are accountable to God, and somebody needs to tell them, you know? And that's why the Lord established his church. He left his church here in the world to warn sinners to flee from the wrath to come. He wants everyone to have the opportunity. And when we preach the gospel and people don't turn from their wicked ways, those of us who preach the gospel and we try to help lost people to get saved, we're not responsible for their blood. If they don't hear us, you know, their blood is upon their own heads. And so the watchman, he said, flee the wrath, you know. I want to go back over here to the lesson that I read in just a minute. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. You see, we have a responsibility as the people of God. We have a duty to expose people to the Word of God and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to hold him up. And Jesus said this, If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And I believe in the power of the gospel. I believe that you can trust the gospel. It's the truth. I believe that even as it said, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, and he is having reference to the crucifixion. If I am crucified, and if I give my life as an atonement for your sins, and if you let people know about that, the Holy Spirit will touch the hearts of people, and they will draw them to Jesus. So that's the way the plan of salvation works. But he said, nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Then you are not responsible. You know, if you've done your best to try to win the lost, and they don't hear and they don't turn, then you're not held responsible for it. They're responsible for their own sins. Now, I want to just notice here a little bit, and I'm going to move along. In the 10th verse of this lesson I read, therefore, O son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, that is, at the time of our death, and we pine away in them, he said, how shall we live? You know, I've already said we're all going to die. And as we get older, you know, we become frail and we become weak. And perhaps diseases overtake us and we just pine away. You've heard that expression, I'm sure, about somebody who's just, it seemed like they're just pining away. They're going down quickly, you know. And he said, if sinners they hear the gospel yet they haven't come to the Lord Jesus and haven't had their sins forgiven, you see, their transgressions are still upon them. See, they're still sinners, and their transgressions are upon them. He said, and our sins, transgressions and sins be upon us. We shall pine away in them. And how should we then live? It says, how should we then live? So he said, son of man, you tell them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You see, God gets no honor, no glory out of the death of the wicked. The pleasure, the honor, and the glory that he deserves comes from those who have been redeemed. And they have been born of the Spirit of God, and they've become children of God, and they honor him with their lives, and they serve him with gladness, and they sing praises to him, and they bring pleasure to the name of the Lord. And he said, but I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his wicked way. There's nothing that brings more joy to the heart of God than for a lost sinner to turn from his or her wicked way and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only sufficient method of being saved. And there is no other way. You see, there's just one way. And so he said, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Now, I wanted to mention this also. In the book of 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 14, we have an example that I think shows what is being said here. David had a son by the name of Absalom. And Absalom, he sinned against his father. David was the king. And Absalom, he tried to overthrow his father and take the kingdom away from him. But he didn't succeed. The results of that was that he was banished. He fled from the king, and the king refused to let him come back. You know, he was away somewhere else for 2 or 3 years that he was there. And the king refused to let him come back. And so that did not keep the king from loving him. And that did not keep the king from his heart from longing after him. And you read this. You start in the 13th chapter of 2 Samuel and read about the last 4 or 5 verses and then on into the 14th chapter. And you'll see this that I'm trying to explain to you. But anyway, he was the king. He mourned for him every day. He mourned for him. And that's an example of the love that God has for sinners. You know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that does not keep God from longing for sinners to come back to him. He wants them to come. And he loves them. In that 14th chapter, we find these words, that 14th verse. And I guess I'll have to turn to it just for a few moments of time. This is what I'm trying to get to. The message came, for we must needs die and are as water that's spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. Now, I'm going to try to explain that if I can. We must needs die. I told you it's appointed unto man once to die. When you spill water on the ground, you cannot gather it up again. That's the way it is with man. When man dies, he does not live again. Not in the sense as we are living now. That's what I'm trying to say. He said it can't be gathered up again. And he said, neither does God respect any man's person. And we've read that in the Bible a number of places. Peter said to the household of Cornelius, I perceive that in all things God is no respecter of persons. You see, so we all die. And once we die, we're dead, you know. My son came down from Indianapolis, and he and I spent the day Friday go into the graveyards, and we visited about 9 different graveyards on one day, seeking for information about our ancestors. But you see, they died, and they haven't showed up on the earth since the day they died, you know. Just like water, you pour it out on the ground, you know, the ground will absorb it, and you won't see them anymore. And so he said, neither doth God respect any man's person. Now, you have one opportunity to get right with God, and that's why you're living, while you're living. There's no second chances. I want you to understand this. There's no second chances. Once you have died, your destiny is sealed. If you die with your sins upon you, like I read in the book of Ezekiel, if you die, if you pine away in your sins and you die, you see, then you will forever bear the consequences of your sins. And he said there's no respect of persons with God. He don't treat one man one way and another man another way. It's the same with every one of us. And he said, yet God doeth he devise means whereby his banished be not expelled from him. Now, sin comes between us and God. And we do not have that relationship with God. But God did devise a plan. A plan whereby those that have become separated from God by sin can be saved and not be expelled from him. God, separates men from God. But God has made a way whereby while we're living and having heard the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ, we can come to him and we can have our sins forgiven and we can have righteousness given to us as a gift. Righteousness that God recognizes. It's not our righteousness, but it's the righteousness of his Son that is given to us because we repented of our sins and believed in Jesus for salvation. And so he doth devise means whereby the banished, those who have been separated from God, can come back to him and not be expelled from him for all time and all eternity. There are some other scriptures that I was thinking about in the book of Job. I want to connect this with what I've been trying to say. In the 20th chapter of Job, it says in verse 4, "Knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon the earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. Though his excellency mount up to the heavens, and his head reach into the clouds, yet he shall perish forever like his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, where is he? He shall fly away as a dream and shall not be found. Yea, he shall be chased away as a vision in the night. The eye which saw him shall see him no more. Neither shall his place any more behold him. His children shall seek to please the poor, and his hands shall restore their goods. His bones are full of the sins of his youth. This is the dead man. The dead man that died in his sins. His sins are still with him. His bones are full of the sins of his youth, which shall lie down with him in the dust. Now, I want you to get this picture. The person who has lived, who has heard the warning from God through his servants and through his church, who do not take heed and flee from the wrath to come. When they die, their sins go with them. The sins, your sins will go to the grave with you. On the morning of the resurrection, your sins will still be upon you. When you have stood before God at the judgment, your sins will still be upon you. When you have been cast out into outer darkness, your sins will still be upon you. There's only one way to get your sins removed, and that's by repenting of them and asking God to forgive you and putting your faith and trust in Jesus, the one who paid the sin debt for you. That's the only way you can get rid of them. There's no other way. And so you need to get rid of your sins while you're living. Because when you die, there are no second chances. There are no second chances. God is no respecter of person. He gives everybody an opportunity to get right with God. No respecter of person. Peter, at the household of Cornelius, you see, he was a little bit concerned. You know, he thought the Jews had an exclusive right to the gospel and the power of God. And so God had to teach him a lesson. He took him up on the housetop and he fell into a trance. And this sheet was let down in his midst. Before it were all manner of unclean beasts. And a voice said, Peter, rise, slay and eat. And Peter said, not so. Nothing unclean or common has ever passed over my lips. And God said, Peter, what God has cleansed, don't you call it common or unclean. This happened three times. And then the Lord directed him to go back down off of the housetop. And when he got down there, the Lord had told him, said, there'll be three men down there waiting for you. Now you go with them. And don't you doubt, you go with them. And he got down there, and there those men were. And they said, Cornelius has sent us down here to get you, to bring you up to his house, that he might hear words whereby he might be saved. And so Peter went, and he got up there. And Cornelius had all of his household gathered together to hear the warning. And the first thing Peter said was, I perceive that in all things that God is no respecter of persons. He taught him that the Gentiles, who were heathens, they were just as important in the eyes of God as the people who were a part of the nation of Israel. When it comes to salvation, there is no respect of persons with God. Whether you're white or black or brown or red, whether you whatever language you speak, you know your soul is important to God. And you need salvation. And you need to heed the warning that comes. I've been trying for 64 years, you know, to give the warning, to warn people, get right with God, you're going to die. If you die in your sins, there's no hope for you. You have to be saved. You have to come to Jesus. And you have to believe in Him as your Savior. And you have to trust in Him and in what He did on the cross of Calvary. And so you just have to, you have to heed the warning. There's a song, an old song we sang. Careless soul, why do you linger? You know, careless soul, heed the warning. Heed the warning. I can't even bring those words up at this time about that old song. But it's a wonderful old song. Careless soul, why do you linger? Heed the warning. Get right with God while you can. Because the time's coming when you won't be able to get right with God. And so your sins are going to follow you. If you don't get rid of them before you die, they'll be with you forever, for all eternity. While the ceaseless ages roll, you'll never get rid of them. They'll still be there, and you will be punished with everlasting destruction. You say, that sounds so mean. How could God do that? Well, let me tell you something about God's goodness. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that came to this earth and went to the old rugged cross, and no man ever suffered like Jesus suffered. He paid the sin debt for you, and God allowed that. He didn't take any pleasure in the death of His Son. He was like David. You know, He longed for His Son. You know, He mourned for Him. And He was banished. Well, God loved His Son. And His Son died. When He died, He had the sins of the whole world upon Him. Now that's how much God loves lost people. And that's why He allowed His Son to come to this world and die that awful death, so that we could get rid of our sins. And you don't have to go through the rest of your life in sin. And you don't have to die in sin. And you don't have to be cast into eternity with your sins on you. You can come to Jesus and be saved. Now I'm going to close. There's a lot of things I thought I'd say, but I'm not going to go any further. I just want you to know, you know, God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, a lost person. He has no pleasure in it. But He does have pleasure in a lost person turning from his sins and coming to God. Now, I pray God will bless this message. Wish I could have presented it better. I wish I could. But I've done the best I could. But I know this, beyond any shadow of a doubt, God loves you. And Jesus died for you. And God made a plan whereby you could get rid of your sins. You don't have to bear your sins. Jesus bore them for you. And you can have your sins forgiven and have the knowledge that your sins are gone. where do they go? Well, the Bible says that God puts them behind his back, you know, where he does not see them anymore. It says he puts them in the sea of forgetfulness, and he does not remember them anymore, because the righteousness of Jesus has been given to you, and that's what God sees. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that has been imputed to you. And today, Sister Laura, let's have a song, if we could. I just want to make this, give this opportunity. If you're not been saved, and your sins are heavy upon you, and you know you need to get right with God, I want to invite you to come to Jesus. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And I pray today that you will make that surrender, that you will be able to surrender and trust Jesus. And you'll find out that I've told you the truth. You can be saved and know that you've been saved. Let's stand together while we sing.